of you. And I forget to do the little ordinary things.
Hey, I can just see it now, Sandy. Hey,
that
Jill,
everyone ought to do.
That guy Earl is playing Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett.
Yeah. You know, now we've been talking about Tony Bennett and Dean Martin. I can see that Dean Martin came out of the Tony Bennett tree, not the Frank Sinatra tree. Because he, yeah.
Well, you know, Dean Martin, even though, you know, I like some of his stuff, he didn't have the chops that these two guys had.
No, not at all.
Right? Yeah. He was not even close.
Nope.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844. Yeah, I'm old enough to know about Dean Martin and Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis and all of those guys. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go back to the phone lines and CJ. CJ, quickly.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I'm supporting Nikki Haley for president, and I tell you what.
Well, wait.
Okay, all right.
Hell yeah. Rook, yeah, now I could only figure from Earl, but thank you for that. She was a true someone that stood up, and let's remember how we got here, guys. This never should have happened, remember? 13 soldiers in Afghanistan in weakness. This is Ukraine. Remember, this was the candidate, your candidate, the only guy that could stand up toe-to-toe to Putin, and we're living in a situation that was created by a guy you're still supporting. This is the Biden administration.
So let me ask you a question. Sandy, let me do this quickly. Let me ask you a question, man, because Donald Trump said the other day if he was the president, he would end the Ukrainian war right away. Donald Trump is the guy, CJ, that you constantly said, that Russia was afraid of. And you've said it many times on these airways. And so Donald Trump is the guy that Putin was afraid of. How did you get to Nikki Haley then?
How do I get to Nikki Haley?
Yeah, when you said over and over again that Donald Trump was the guy that Putin was afraid of.
This didn't happen. You know who was at the
UN? I got all that.
Representing Donald Trump and the administration? Who was it? Nikki Haley.
Where, at the United Nations?
I think this only helped Donald Trump, this false prosecution.
Okay, well, what we were talking about there, let's just see, CJ, I'm just interested in getting to solution rather than the blame. So we got it going now, regardless of why Ukraine is going. What do you think would be, we were talking about how we were agreeing with Ron Johnson that we should be moving towards negotiation and backing off from just an open checkbook. What do you think about that? Where do you come down on that? Not the question of why did it start? Why did Putin move into Ukraine? He's there. The war's ongoing. Now the question is, if we're going to be Americans, if we're going to be constructive, the question is, what do we do now? What do you recommend we do now?
Well, it is. It's a scary situation because I believe in peace through strength. And the issue with Donald Trump was the world believed him when he said he was going to
No, 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 no. CJ, let's just can't you just answer be responsive. What do you recommend we do now? You're getting back to talking about why it might have started, why it's ongoing. Now the question is, what do we do now? What do you recommend that Congress do now?
Do you agree with Ron Johnson's position?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't. because this is a fight against, this is either you stand with Russia and China now and Iran, or you stand for freedom of Ukraine. Because if Ukraine is taken, then it's Poland, and it's not going to stop. This is a fight for freedom now. And well, the mere fact that you got to go in to win it, and they should have had the planes. And now we're going to be, you watch, when Taiwan's president's here, China's going to attack Taiwan. That's my prediction. And this is going to be ugly, and it shouldn't have ever happened. And the mere fact that your party even supports this idiot that has caused this, scares the hell out of me.
Okay, let's.
Because your party's more worried about pronouns than the mere fact of freedom around the world.
Hey, CJ, your guy, Ron Johnson, said that it's time to bring this to an end while you're pointing fingers at parties. I agree with Ron Johnson that it's time to bring this to an end. So that's the issue. That's the question. You know, you can't for the life of you look at it from the other perspective. You know, Sandy and I both have said we agree with the Republican Senator Ron Johnson and what he's saying about this. But you are opposed to what he's saying. I think what he's saying makes sense.
And with respect, we're gonna jump over and talk about Taiwan and China in a minute, but Taiwan's a very scary situation. Not scary because I think the United States has a responsibility to preserve its independence. Because number one, no one in the world would agree with the notion that Taiwan is an independent country. Well, 12 countries in the world recognize the independence of Taiwan as a country. It's not in the UN. It's not in the UN because the UN doesn't any longer recognize it. But do you want to hear a list of the 12 countries, CJ, that recognize Taiwan as a country?
Yes, but
okay. Well,
let me
give you the list, and it just got narrowed down by one because Honduras backed off and now recognizes China and has diplomatic relations with China. Here's a list of the countries that recognize Taiwan: Belize, Guatemala, Haiti, Honduras stopped, the Marshall Islands, Nauru, Palau, Paraguay, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Tuvalu. Now, almost all of those are island nations. Most of those are nations we don't even understand where they are. But those are the only nations in the world that recognize Taiwan as an independent country. Should we really, and everyone else recognizes Taiwan through the process of a one-China policy, should we really be staking all of America's treasure and our weapons in support of Taiwan when we don't even recognize it as a country?
You didn't mention one NATO nation.
There isn't one. These are, you know, this is it. There isn't one developed country. And so, you know, we develop fictions that we then decide we believe, and we talk about them as if, it, you know, Taiwan and Shanghai are differentiated by the way in which China has allowed them to be, govern themselves. And Taiwan does govern themselves more autonomously than Shanghai does. And we have agreed that were China to try and forcefully change the status quo of Taiwan, we would provide support to Taiwan, except I believe that China might correctly be saying that over the last 30 years, we have changed the status quo of Taiwan by sending it and selling it an immense amount of arms. In 1979, when we made that commitment, we were not arming Taiwan. Since then, we have been arming Taiwan to put it in a different circumstance.
So, Sandy, what that says to me is that if the rest of the world does not see that as a major issue, Taiwan, that they're willing to send their treasures and their troops off to die for, why is it that the United States alone, and it's just us, who feels that way? And yet you hear people, CJ and others, who say we have to defend Taiwan. Maybe they don't understand what it is you just read.
Well, I think it's because we don't talk about these things. We have, you know, our government is ambiguous with its domestic public. We have a purposefully ambiguous policy on Taiwan. It's called, what is it? I think the term is, anyway, it's a purposeful ambiguity.
Oh, yeah, purposeful. That's what this is.
Yeah, and so we don't really tell our populace what our position is on Taiwan. Similarly with Ukraine, Ukraine was a sleeping issue until people in Washington decided to take sides on it. And there were people taking the Yanukovych side, and there were people taking the Ukrainian nationalist side up until 2014. And then our CIA and Ambassador Nuland decided to jump on board with respect to the anti-Russian side and to unseat the elected Yanukovych. I mean, the process there is much more complicated than we understand it to be. But when we simplify it into good guys versus bad guys, it all becomes much more simple. Unfortunately, it also leads to potential huge military problems.
We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You know, Sam.
Peace in every flower. Your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, that was probably a hot ticket, huh?
Maybe you and I should do a duet.
Come on, man.
No, I think that would turn off a lot of listeners.
That must have been a pretty hot ticket.
Those two guys?
Yeah. Sure. So, okay, CJ, quickly, man, quickly.
Well, first off, does our word not mean anything? And Putin is not willing to go to a settlement or just...
You don't know what he's willing to go into, man. So,
what's that?
You don't know what he's willing to go into. That's what negotiations are for.
Well, yeah, exactly. he hasn't shown any sign that he wants to stop. So Ron Johnson, yeah, I'd love a negotiated settlement too. But Putin's got to be willing. And the mere fact is, does our word not mean anything? We ditched thousands of allies, maybe hundreds of Americans in Afghanistan, and they're still there. We're going to do the same. Does our word not mean anything?
Did you not hear anything Sandy said about the end games of all the nations that we were in?
Well, and also the Taiwan, the word, I mean, you just described some promise that we've made to Taiwan. You ought to look at the various legislative actions we've taken, as well as the statements from our State Department as recently as last month that describe our State Department, the formal position of the United States. One of them, in a very short sentence, is we do not recognize Taiwan as an independent country. And so by that, we are clearly indicating that we do recognize Taiwan as a part of China. So from that point on, this discussion gets far more complicated than simply backing somebody, and what does backing them mean, and what is the proper expenditure of American wealth, treasure, and blood with respect to that situation. So it isn't simple. If when you make it simple, it becomes easy to talk about it. If you recognize the facts and the complexities of it, it gets much more complicated.
The mere fact is we're there because of this.
No, I'm talking about Taiwan. I'm talking about Taiwan now. We're talking about Taiwan. And that's different. And I'm reacting to your expression, does our word mean nothing with respect to Taiwan? I presume what you're saying there is that we owe Taiwan our defense, that if were China to do something, we would be required to do something vis-a-vis China. And I think the question, first of all, begs the notion of whether China is going to do something. You predicted China would invade them apparently next week when the head of Taiwan, when the president of Taiwan is there. I don't know what source your intelligence is, but there's been no indication that that's a probability whatsoever.
Well, the president of Taiwan's going to be here. She's going to be here next week. And that's when China's going to invade them.
Okay.
Because of this president.
So China's going to invade Taiwan next week?
Yeah.
Listen, okay, man. Thank you very much for the call. You know, okay, Dan, I'll take you quickly. Last time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say a few things, and that is, you know, we live in a different world today. This policy of isolation and containment is not even a plausible thing anymore. And unfortunately, people still have that mindset. And the reality is the Great Depression was a terrible time in our country. And we have never been more connected in this day and age. Not one country can survive without the other, because nothing is made in each individual country. And if we don't think about this long-term real effect, the entire global economy is going to be affected, and we're all going to be hurt, and that's when a real world can happen.
Boy, you're singing to the choir here, because that's my view exactly. That globalization not only has that effect, but it also ties us all together so that we don't go to war with one another. One of the reasons why China is a relatively safe country, in spite of what we want to talk about, is the fact that the world is totally entwined economically with China, including the United States. And China is similarly intertwined with the rest of the world.
Hey, Dan, thank you very much for the call, man. Let the people know in Racine that we're here. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Gonna make a brand new start of it right there in old New York. You better believe it, folks. You always make it there. You make it there.
This affair.
It's the first time we've ever done this show from a cocktail lounge.
All right,
but why
that.
Should I try
the early room show, as always, you can join us at 844. That's what it seems like, right?
Yeah.
At 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Gene from Eau Claire. Yes, ma'am.
Just want to make two statements here. First of all, I have to say you guys hit the nail on the head. And it made me really think about our feelings, our situations, the framework that we look at things in, at the time that things are stated, and positions that we take. And it really made me think, you know, why am I looking at this way? Why am I not seeing the other side on this? And I'm hoping that you guys, or you, either one of you, have any recommendations for resources, studies, information, so that we can look at a totally different perspective on this. I've watched live the UN meetings for a long time, you know, when they've been discussing Ukraine, and I know there's a lot of politics that go on in it, but I just see those people suffering in Ukraine needlessly. Where can we get information? Do you have any recommendations for...
So Gene, let me say this, because you are not alone from the perspective of you're watching the people suffer. And so your heart is, and anybody who has a heart would hate to see this. But these are the foibles of war, right, Sandy?
I mean, what we've got in Ukraine is essentially the clash of empires, Russia and America through extension by NATO. And it's a clash of a sense of security, right? The empires want to be secure from one another. NATO's expanding towards Russia to be secure from Russia, which, of course, makes Russia feel threatened to the extent that it's yin and yang. Yang is going to react to Ying's steps. So, you know, there was never a view in 1995 or even in 2005 that Russia was hell-bent on invading anybody. There was a view that there was going to be a shakeout. You know, when the USSR collapsed, it happened overnight. And it sort of gracefully disintegrated into eight republics, but it wasn't that graceful. And there was always, everyone knew from the standpoint of foreign affairs. I watched a Richard Nixon interview that went on in 1994, I think it was, or 92, in which he discussed the ramifications of the fallout, and he talked about how there was still going to be a period of shakeout in terms of how these republics would actually, the boundaries within them would be resolved, etc. And so we should understand that Ukraine is a part of all that, and that there is this concept of hegemony, you know, this region of influence that we exercise across the world, and which China obviously has a sense of a regional influence, and so does Russia. So with respect to sources, you know, I can think about that. Maybe we can figure out a way to post some things for alternative readings. There is a list. It's put out every day called Johnson's List, and this fellow named Johnson from the Carnegie Institute. It's a totally neutral Foundation puts out a list every day of things to be read that relate to Russia and Ukraine and the situation in Eastern Europe. And it's quite interesting, and it's filled with different viewpoints. And I that would be one I would aim you in that direction. I think Americans, what we need to do is roll up our sleeves and start thinking independently so that we don't think simplistically.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call, and thank you for listening, as always. You know, I want to go here now, Sandy, as we are running out of time. So the House Republicans are now hell-bent on a lot of investigations. When they won the House with great fanfare, we're going to be investigating because the Democrats investigated. Adam Schiff investigated Donald Trump, right? I mean, and then the Democrats investigated January 6th.
Yep.
And I forgot what else the Democrats were investigating, but those two things for sure that angered Republicans.
Well, there were two impeachments,
right?
And then there was the January 6th investigation. Those are the predominant ones, I believe.
And so from that point, Republicans decided that they were going to, okay, they did these things. We were opposed to those things, and now all of a sudden, we're going to get back at them. So the Republicans have decided this is their list of investigations that they're presently or will be investigating. Bill from Oconomowoc, I see y'all be coming to you. Hunter Biden's laptop. Border security. Weaponization of the federal government, whatever that means. Biden documents. Afghanistan, they're going to investigate, as CJ was saying, the pulling out of American troops from Afghanistan. They're going to investigate COVID-19. They think that the way Joe Biden responded was wrong, whatever that means. They're going to investigate U.S.-China policy. A new select committee on China is aimed at evaluating the strategic competition between the two countries as lawmakers examine how the U.S. can invest in its supply chain and research and be less reliant on manufacturing and other services done abroad. Fraud in the pandemic relief funds. So those are the major things that, the House committees are going to be investigating. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, Bill, how you doing? Thank you for the call. You say what, my friend?
Hey, good to talk to you, Earl. Hey, on all that investigating, it's going to be ironic because maybe I watched some of it yesterday or maybe it was taped. These hearings are a kangaroo court. This is Al Capone trying to get Edgar Hoover to testify. the other day, when Jim Jordan, the only guy that can't afford a sport coat in Congress, Eric Sonwell, I think it was, said, "How can you question us and subpoena us when you've gone over 300 days on your subpoena and you haven't responded to it? You have no integrity." That's what's going to happen. I think, I don't know what you guys, you and Sandy think. I'm going to hang up quickly. I think this is going to be the beginning of the end. This is going to supply SNL with enough humor into it. And if you like the Three Stooges, they're gonna love this. So I'm gonna hang up, and I
want to
hear
how you. Well, Bill, don't hang up, Bill. I think you ought to sign up as a writer for SNL.
Yeah,
actually.
Bill is always.
That's pretty good stuff. But well, here's my problem with investigations. I'm okay with Congress investigating whatever, so long as they can walk and chew gum at the same time. If they can investigate and actually also explore the real problems America has and involve themselves in examining those and solving those, I'm all for it. But obviously that isn't what happens. These investigations become the not the sideshow, they're the whole show. And there's, you know, this gridlock in Congress is covered up by the fact that there is these investigations. So something's going on, but it's nothing that helps the American people. It's not, and it's all just political finger pointing. So, you know, I agree with you. It's going to be fodder for SNL. It's going to get nowhere. It's all just about politics. You know, but I'm not one to, for instance, to defend Hunter Biden. I have no idea what went on there, and if something went on there,
we all agree
he ought to get held to task for it.
Hunter Biden, am I still on the air?
Yes.
Am I still on the air?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Even with Hunter Biden, let's just take a quick peek at Hunter Biden's issue. That laptop. If there was something really there, I guarantee you, all these young, hungry reporters would be digging into that like gold. Because the first person that can break that story, I don't care what side he's on, it's going to be huge. But it goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. And it keeps, they're going to investigate all this stuff that they almost created. And with the Hunter Biden story, read some of the revelations. There isn't anything. There is no smoking gun. And yet they perpetuate it, kind of like all the other stuff they do. They are just losing integrity. It's pouring out of them like you pour water out of a pitcher. No honesty, no integrity, and no leadership. And the Americans know this.
So, Bill?
They know this. The majority know this.
Bill, are you interested in, I would say, fraud and pandemic relief funds is legitimate? That should be investigated. U.S.-China policy, you know.
Sure. I'm all for investigating our foreign policy.
Yeah. COVID-19, you know, the origins of COVID-19. I don't see what's to be gained by that.
Guys, on COVID-19, can you, if you don't mind,
no,
give me a minute. On COVID-19, they destroyed Dr. Fauci. That was a farce. The biggest farce, a man of that integrity. You're telling me he had skin in the game and he was going to be a multi-billionaire, whatever. Yeah, he was going to make some money. That's what he does. He gets paid to do what he does. But they wanted to find a motive with Fauci, and they fell on their face so hard, I'm surprised they're not bleeding. They come up with this stuff that is baseless.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, the point is, when you listen to these guys in these kangaroo courts, and I do, I'm actually listening to with nothing more than I got to get educated if I want to talk about
right.
it. I got to learn what they're talking about and where they're coming from. I can never debate anybody that's against me unless I know what their
True.
Point of view is.
True.
So I have to give them the floor and let them speak. And then I can form my opinions and come back at them. But you and Sandy and your whole group educate people to a level they normally wouldn't be educated.
So, Bill, quickly,
yes,
the investigation of the pullout from Afghanistan, are you interested in that?
Okay.
Are you
sure.
interested in that?
Right.
No, are you interested
yes,
in that?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And here's my question on the pullout. We were attacked. It was just a big issue. But here's why it was an issue, and nobody brings this up. Before Biden took leadership, Trump released 5,000 Taliban Afghan terrorists. Who do you think was behind this whole mess? They were. Well, how can you criticize what now? I could say Biden might have done it better. I'll agree with anybody who says that. But here's the point. He had to do it. He had to do it, and he did it. It wasn't pretty. It was ugly. We all knew the longer he waited, the worse it got.
Hey, Bill, listen. We got to go to a break. But you know what your problem is? Bill, listen. You know a little bit too much. We don't allow people who know so much to come on. Thank you very much for the call, as always, my friend. We'll be right back.
Step up, wake up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Yes, I've got you under my skin. Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting, something in your smile.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, you know, man, it's always, I love our listening audience, right? And the fact that they're so well informed. Because, I mean, you and I talk about some, listen, we talk about some subjects that are serious, and I mean, you're not going to get us like Tucker Carlson yesterday. Trump indictment, greatest assault on democracy. Wait a minute. So the Trump indictment is the greatest assault on democracy? I don't quite think it's to that degree. I mean, isn't that a bit of a stretch?
Well, the whole Trump period has been... No, really, I mean, the Trump era, Trumpism, everything associated with it is an assault, more or less, on democracy. He's made a direct assault on each of the pillars of government. He directly attacked the enforcement, law enforcement agencies, which are a part of his own executive. He attacked the court system. He basically tried to strip the credibility of the fourth pillar of our, you know, the non-governmental fourth pillar, which is our news media. I mean, we have, ever since the Trump came on the scene, it has heightened the extent to which the important pillars of our democracy have been under assault. And, you know, some of it's attributable to him, some of which he's just a symptom of. But we are in a very dangerous period for our democracy. And it's not because our government is reacting to Trump. It's all about Trump and the Trump movement, I think.
So, Sandy, let's bring Dave from Waukesha in. Dave, thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hi, I might be a little bit behind here, but I just wanted to comment on your subject before as to Biden and investigating why he pulled out of Afghanistan. How about investigating why we were there in the first place? False accusations of weapons of mass destruction. And it's where we went over to Iraq and then invaded Afghanistan, too, on top of it.
Listen, I can't disagree with what you are saying. It's a fact.
Tied it in together.
Yeah, go ahead. You said what, sir? Hey Dave.
Nobody investigates that when Republicans do things like that. So
no. I mean, to me, it is ridiculous to say we're going to investigate the pulling out of troops in Afghanistan. The people. So are they saying then, Sandy, that we should still be in Afghanistan? Is that what they're?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of circumstances where when we withdraw, we did the same thing to the Kurds under Trump in Syria and in Iraq. And so, you know, and the same thing happened in Vietnam when we came out. There's pictures of the helicopters with people hanging from helicopters. The fact is, when wars end badly, or when wars end without an armistice, they end badly. And so we've had a track record of ending badly, you know, and I'm not sure the investigation, I would agree the investigation ought to be in the foreign policy that gets us into these circumstances in the first place, and not so much an investigation on how we got out. Getting out of Afghanistan after 20 years, I think the main scandal there is we were there for 20 years.
Who's still complaining about us leaving Afghanistan?
Well, that's what this investigation is.
Yeah,
about.
I mean,
way we left, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it clearly is time. It was clearly time that we were gone and that we left, and so I get it, you know, Sandy. What many of them are talking about is they saw all these people running behind the airplanes, and what that looked like. Jumping on the wings and all those kind of things. But I don't know how you can blame that on any one entity.
Well, we
that.
Should understand that when we go to war in a place like Afghanistan, we spend a lot of time basically corrupting we buy friends, okay? We did it in Vietnam. We did it to the Montagnards. We did it to the Hmongs. We've done it in each country. We did it to the Kurds. We spread lots of money around, the CIA and the Army together. Buying influence, but compromising the local people in the context of that. And if we do that when we don't have an end game, there's a certain lack of morality to putting a bunch of people into danger and then not having the capacity to solve for that. And there's no way to solve for it for the numbers of people that we compromise.
Right. And those people are left behind, and there's a price to be paid,
yeah.
Right?
But it has as much to do with what we were doing while we were there. It has much more to do with that than it has to do with leaving, all right? And doing all that without an end game. We never had an end game in Afghanistan. We thought we were going to create a country. We knew within 4 years that wasn't going to happen.
All right, listen, we got to go. Sandy, thank you as always. Really appreciate it. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Enjoy. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to get to the 62 degrees, but I'll take 58. Is there a difference between 58 and 62? I don't know. All right, I'll see everybody later. Thank God it's the weekend. All right, see you later.
Just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away, and ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight, in love forever, it turned out so right, for strangers in the night. Just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. Ever since that night.